good to be here. We're happy to be here to have opportunity this morning to share with you our burden and ministry in Bulgaria as church planners over the past 20 years. My family is here. Most of our family is here. We have 13 children. So four of them are growing up in different places around the country. Some of them went to Sunday school. I'll introduce the ones that are here. This is my wife, Shannon. It's on the front row here. On the second row, Stephen, Caitlin, Samuel. Back there, Timothy, Daniel, David, and Jordan. Well, I can't believe I remembered all their names. It was 22 years ago this April that we began deputation. I believe this church has supported us. I was trying to think when you started it. Probably all these years, I can imagine. I'm pretty sure all these years you've supported us. We arrived in the field in April of 2003. I've been there ever since. If you take your Bibles this morning, I want to read a few verses here before I get started and give you a little bit of an update of what God has done in Bulgaria and our ministry over these years. We can turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We'll look at starting in verse 13. I just want to read a few verses here. It says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." In verse 16, I want to focus on that verse. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." That means he's commanded you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. For the past 20 years, we've been trying to do just that, bring forth fruit. We obeyed the command of God, and I believe he's called every Christian to go. Every Christian to go and bring forth fruit. We arrived in the field in April of 2003 and began to learn the language, a difficult language, the Bulgarian language. We studied for 2 hours every day in the morning, and then in the afternoon went out and practiced the language. And a few months passed, and there was in the house that we rented in Sofia, there was a man that had a piece of property beside us, and he would come every once in a while and check on his property. And he came one day and introduced himself, found out we were Americans, introduced himself to us, and he had been in England for about 5 years living, and so he spoke some broken English, very broken English. But I took advantage of that and began to witness to him. The first person I ever won to the Lord, his name is Dimitri. And won him to the Lord in his house. He began to come. We became friends. And our original plan had been to go to the southeastern part of Bulgaria to start churches there. And that's what I told everybody on deputation. We're going to go there. We're going to learn the language in Sofia, in the capital city. It's the easier place to live, easier place to learn the language. And then when we get done that, we're going to go to the southeastern part of the country. But Dimitri got saved. And God changes things. He arranges things. And he had a plan for us. And Dimitri began to find places for us to meet before I was ready to meet. Amen. It had been only about 6 months, 7 months, and I barely could introduce myself in Bulgarian. And he was finding places for us to meet in downtown Sofia. Sofia is a congested area. There's just communist apartment buildings. They're run down blocks. You know, the idea of communism was for everybody to be equal. Right. So they tore down houses and built these communist, if you've ever seen the Eastern European high-rise apartment buildings, they're 12, 13 stories high. Every apartment is dark. It's gray. It's concrete. Everything looks the same. And so it's very hard to find a large meeting place at that time. There wasn't much building going on in 2003. They've since had a boom in building since we've been there. And so he finds us these apartments to meet in downtown Sofia. And he called me one day and he said, "I found an apartment." I said, "Well, I'm not interested in an apartment. I didn't even tell you I was looking for an apartment." "Well, you could start a church there." I said, "Well, I'm planning on going to this other, you know, southeastern part of Bulgaria." He said, "Well, it's better if you just stay here. There's more people here. And you know, you need to just stay here in Sofia." And I said I wasn't interested, and he found another place. A few weeks later, found another place. He said, this is too good of a deal to turn down. He said, you got to take this place. And he just was very persistent, and I called my father on the phone, who, by the way, my father passed away 2 years ago. But my counselor, my friend, and called him on the phone, and I said, Dad, what should I do? He said, well, maybe it's God's will that you know, if he's opened the door, if this guy's that persistent, maybe you should give it a try. Well, you got to realize something. I didn't speak the language very well, not well enough to preach. And so I went to Demetra, the man that led the Lord. I said, Demetra, I don't know how I'm going to do this. You want me to meet there? How am I going to preach to these people? He said, don't worry, I'll help you. So he did. I wrote out all my sermons word for word in English. We sat down. He was illiterate at the computer. Demetra's now 60-something, 63 years old, I believe. And he was illiterate at the computer, but I sat down there at the computer, and I would type, and I'd have it written out in English, and he'd translate it, try to translate it into Bulgarian, and I would type it in, he'd tell me what to write. And you got to realize the computer keyboard in the Bulgarian language, they didn't have at that time a computer keyboard, so it was on Latin letters, and then we used the Cyrillic alphabet, so I'm trying to figure out where the letters are, you know, with one finger, and it literally six to 12 hours every week just to preach one time on Sunday morning. And sitting down with him till late at night, and got home one night real late, and the neighbor where we live, you know, the neighbors are all nosy, they know everything everybody's doing. She comes out the next day to my wife, what was your husband doing till 12 o'clock at night? There's only one thing he could be out doing at 12 o'clock at night. Nope, we were translating messages, and we began to meet there in downtown Sofia, held our first service there. A few months later, we baptized six people in our living room in a swimming pool. We met there for about 6 months. Actually, about that time, the neighbors began to get nervous about the Baptist church. You see, in Bulgaria, Baptist is a strange thing. I noticed here you have Baptist churches all over the place. I was driving through West Virginia in a stretch about 45 miles. I think we counted 40. Daniel was counting the churches with us. We were going to the doctor's appointment. He counted 45 Baptist churches. One after the other in every little crevice in West Virginia. But in Bulgaria, Baptist, you say Baptist, what's that? Now, they only know the Bulgarian Orthodox Church. To them, that's the only religion. And they found out we were Baptist and we were a church meeting there. They said that this can't happen. And the landlord got nervous. They got a petition together, and we were out of there. She said, I can't have you meeting here anymore. We quickly found another place, began to search, called as many realtors as I could. I said, we can't miss a Sunday. And we were in another place, signed a contract with the lady, and told I said, I wanted everything to be clear. We're a church. We're going to meet here. We're going to have services. We're going to sign it. The last contract had been in my name. I said, this time we're going to put it in the church name. You don't know what we're doing here because I don't want to be kicked out. We met there for 2 weeks. There was a school across the street. And they got together, got all upset, got a petition together against the little Baptist church that had 20 people in it in an apartment across the street. Said we were dangerous for their children. Wrote a newspaper article in the newspaper. Said that the Baptists are here and they eat children. You wouldn't believe it. It was just so absurd and just ridiculous things, you know. And the only children that were there at the services, we were a small church. We just started. I mean, there was all just my kids there, and they're still alive, I think. I mean, there's no anyway. We didn't eat any of them yet. And we were out of there, and they said there's a dangerous sect across the street, and it's dangerous for our kids that attend the school. We began to quickly look for another place. And Demetra, the man that had wanted the Lord, he had actually some property in several places, and he had some apartments, but they just weren't in a central location. And he had one on the outskirts of Sofia in a little area called Ovtrakupol. And he said, why don't you just meet there? No one's going to kick you out. And I'm the owner. I'm not going to kick you out. And so we began to meet there. And I didn't really think it was God's will for us to meet in that outskirts of Sofia, but God bless. God knew what he was doing. He moved us right in the right place at the right time. And we began to meet there. People began to come. People began to get saved. Then in 2005, God opened up the door. A storefront building came. with an independent entrance there down the road from where we were meeting, and it became available, and we took it. We moved in. And that same year, we started our Sunday school for the Gypsy street children. I noticed there were some street children going through the trash cans across the street, and they sometimes have a baby stroller with no baby in it. They take the little basket out of it and stack wood on top of it and metal, whatever they could find in the trash. And sometimes they come by with a horse, and I noticed them across the street. And we could start something with them and begin to do something with them. We had 60 kids show up the first time we had a meeting with no buses, by the way. One time we decided to do a promotion with and give away a bike. And we never did that again. Anyway, you got to ride with my wife and me, and the kids were all small then. And there was 379 kids that showed up and, for a bike. And you can imagine 379, I'm talking about ghetto bus kids that had no discipline. And anyway, we did give away a bike, but that's about it. but God blessed. We started the Sunday school. Where the church was now located was between two sections. On one side of the street was the Bogan high-rise apartment blocks. On the other side of the street was a hill that went up over, and just trash all over the hill. But on the other side of that trash heap was the largest Gypsy section in Bulgaria, in Sofia. 70,000 Gypsies live there in approximately 1 square mile. So they're literally stacked on top of each other. Practically, if you went there, you'd say, well, they've built in the middle of the street, and the street becomes an alleyway, literally a walkway. You know, the telephone poles are in the middle of their houses, and they build around the poles, and it's just alleyways, and it's like a maze going through there. And the people began to come from down the hill to our church from that Gypsy area, and a lady came. Her name was Ani, older lady with a cane, since passed away. She brought her daughter, Nellie, and her son, Georgi, and they came to church. And they were there for a little, got saved, got baptized. She brought her sister, Tanya. She got saved and baptized. And Tanya invited her husband, and her husband wouldn't come for years. He wouldn't come to church. He said, I'm waiting for my oldest son to get married. I said, I want to have a drunken party. He knew if he came to church and got saved, he might not be able to have that drunken party. That was in his mind. And he said, I'm going to have this, you know, my oldest son gets married, we're going to have a party, and then I'm going to come to church. And praise the Lord that he actually lived until then, and he came. He did. His son got married. He came to church a few weeks after that, got saved and got baptized. He came to church, and they invited their sister-in-law. Tanya invited her sister-in-law, Zorka. She got saved and baptized. She brought her two daughters, Tatiana and said to Lena, and they got saved and baptized, and people began to come and get saved and baptized. And then in 2011, our church had become pretty much 90% Gypsies, the Roma population. And Bulgarians they're a little bit racist towards them. We had some that weren't. People that grew in the Lord that understood that it was about reaching souls. But we began to grow, and God allowed us to purchase some container buildings. And we purchased 6 container buildings. They're like shipping containers, and put them together and opened them up on the inside. And they're that we still meet in those to this day. But placed them on the property of Simeon in the largest Gypsy area in Sofia, where there's 70,000 people live in 1 square mile. And people began to come. People began to get saved, baptized more people. And we rarely get people from other churches. In Bulgaria, it's not like, you know, in the States where, you know, they leave one church and go to the next. You know, somebody goes to an area to start the church, they already have 3 families, you know, from other churches in the area to help them. In Bulgaria, we started with nothing. Everybody that comes to our church, most everybody, probably 99% of the people or more than that, are people that I've wanted the Lord. My wife has wanted the Lord. That have come to our church. But there was one lady that came. She was saved. She's 84 years old. She'll be 84 years old the 30th of July, coming up here. Her name is Nida. And she was saved under communism in old Baptist Union Church in downtown Sofia. She had walked in the door and gotten saved. And she didn't live there, but she lives in another area and began to go to an old-time Pentecostal holiness type church after she left there. And but the church had went into the charismatic movement, gotten away from their old, and really became just a worldly, very worldly church, and she didn't like it. So she began to come to our church, and she said, "Your church is different. And it's back. Your church is like it used to be," she said. And she started coming to our church, and she had her husband. And it's amazing that all those years that she had been going to church through communism, and even up until about 2012, she no one had ever come by her house and talked to her husband about getting saved. No one had ever heard. She said, "I've been praying for my husband for years." And went by her house one day, and he was sitting out front. Sat down with him, and Coltsy, his name is Coltsy, he bowed his head and accepted Jesus as her Savior, and she was crying just on the other room. He came to church that Sunday, got baptized, and started coming to church. So about 2 months passed, and Coltsy passed away. So he brought water every Sunday. He said he was very excited. He came the first Sunday, and he saw what we were doing. He said, "This is just like going back to school." He said, "I'm learning all kinds of things." And he'd bring me water up to the pulpit every Sunday. After that, he'd bring every service, Wednesday night, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, he'd bring water up to the pulpit. And he passed away, but he's in heaven today. We started our soul winning program, and I was walking down the street one day with a man, his name was Sasha, who had come soul winning with me, and we met a man in the street. You got to realize the area where the people, it's congested, everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows what everybody's doing. Everybody knows everything about everybody. And Sasha was from that area, and we came across a man in the street named Ognan. And Ognan was an older man, and I started to talk to him, and as soon as we walked away from there, I introduced myself, invited him to church, and he was in the street, so he was busy doing something, and we kept going, and Sasha said to me, he said, "That was a waste of time. There's no need, Pastor, there's no need to talk to him. I know him. He's never going to get saved. That guy would never come to church." You know, and he started telling me some things about him, about his life, and some wicked things that had happened. And I said, "Sasha, you never know who God can save." He can save anybody. Pastor, you never know. There's no way he's going to be saved. I can tell you that right now. The next week, Sasha didn't show up for soul winning, but I went out soul winning and I decided, you know what, I'm walking down the same street. I'm going to go by this guy's house. So I went by Ognan's house and knocked on his door, and he invited me back into his living room. We sat down. He's very talkative, and Ognan accepted Jesus as a Savior. Amen. He came to church. You know what he did? He got baptized. And Ognan just recently passed away on, I believe it was May 12th or May 19th, just before he came back to the States. He passed away. One Sunday morning during our Sunday school, I saw through the window a young couple in the back. They were sitting outside, and we have our Sunday school first, and then the main service, and they were waiting for the main service out there on the bench outside the window. And I noticed they were dressed decently, and they were a Bulgarian couple that had come up through the Gypsy Village, which is very rare. And I thought, this is strange. Somebody's coming to see us. Who are these people out there? And I met them and found out between the services. I talked to him. His name is Christo, and her name is Anilia. And Christo had been depressed, and he was very depressed, and he was thinking about committing suicide. And he was sick, and he went. He had some lots of problems. He couldn't be operated on in Bulgaria, but he had to do some operation on his teeth. And he went to Germany, and he was in a hotel room all by himself, and thinking about committing suicide. And he went online, just happened to go online before he did the act and committed suicide he was thinking of doing. He went online looking on some websites and searching for answers, and he came across some independent fundamental Baptist websites. And praise the Lord, on the internet there's a lot of junk. And God directed him just in the right place, and he accepted Jesus as his Savior there in the hotel room. He began to look for a church, and a church down somewhere here over in southern Indiana. He contacted the church, and they sent him a King James Bible. And they said, "You need to go to church somewhere." He began to look online for churches, for Baptist churches. He found our church, and he showed up with his wife that Sunday. He said, the first thing he said is, "I need to get baptized." He said, "We need to get married. We've been living together." So we baptized, we married him, actually, and baptized him in the same service the next week. So we had a marriage ceremony there and in the church during the service, and we married him right there in front of the church. And then just after that, we baptized him in our baptistry. And Christo has been a great blessing, speaks English perfectly. He grew up, his mother is a doctor and his father is a cardiologist. And they were from another town in Bulgaria, and very smart man. And when he came to church, he had his Bible, his King James Bible, was marked everywhere. I mean, he had read the whole thing, got it marked all out. He began to help us do some translation work and things. Been a great blessing to us over these years. We felt had our first missions conference in 2013, took on our first missionary from Bulgaria. I believe that churches, foreign churches on the mission field, should be supporting also missions. And I teach our people that you want to be like America, you want to be rich like America, you want to be blessed like America, learn to give like America. And so we had our missions conference, took on our first missionary, Brother Paul Raphael, in Hungary. And God allowed us to branch out also in 2012. There was a lady that I mentioned earlier, Sedelina, who is a relative of Tanya. She got saved and baptized in the beginning of our church, and she's a really bubbly personality. If you met her, she just makes your mood, changes your mood. You know, these people that just smile on her face all the time. And Seb has a lot of problems in her life, but she's still smiling. And I was over in her house talking to her husband about getting saved, her husband Hassan. And she said, "Wait, I got somebody here. My sister-in-law is here visiting, and her husband. I want to introduce them to you. You know, I told them about you, and I told them they need to be saved, and they want to talk to you." So she invited them in. They came into the living room. They got to talk to Crossy and Vasilka, and their son Isak. And in the living room there, I showed them the gospel, opened the presentation from the gospel on the Romans Road, and went through everything. And, you know, like we like to, you know, when we're given the gospel, you know, push somebody a little bit to get saved. And we lead them in a prayer sometimes afterward. And got to the end there, and I said, "Crossy, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior?" He said, "Yes." I said, "I can help you with that if you'd like, or, you know, you can, it'd be better if you just did it on your own, but I can help you if you'd like." He said, "I can do it on my own." And the very first time that ever happened to me. And he got down on his hands and knees in the middle of the living room and prayed and asked Jesus to save him. His wife got saved. His son got saved. They came and got baptized in our church. And he began to bug. He lived 45 minutes away in another town, in the town of Radomir. And he began to say, "Pastor, when are you going to come? When are you going to come to my house? When are you going to?" So I went and visited him a couple times. He said, "When are you going to come? So we can start a church here. There's no church here." And so his story got it. There was one family that was solid, one family that was going to help us. We'll walk through the door and start a church there. And so we did in 2013. We held our first service there in the town of Radomir. And so things went well. People were saved and baptized. But in 2017, we always have ups and downs in the ministry. Every pastor knows that. I began to get a little discouraged. Not because we didn't have people, not because people weren't getting saved. We had people every once in a while getting saved, and we had people that have been saved over the years and baptized, but it seemed like we could get no workers. You know, one of the greatest encouragements to a pastor is to have people that are involved in the church, people that just make things run. Well, the pastor doesn't have to do absolutely everything. You know, you want to wear out your pastor, have him do absolutely everything, and you just sit back and say, "Well, I'm giving the money, bless God, I'm giving the tithe." Now, you ought to be involved in everything the church is doing. We were discouraged, and I said to God, I said, "Lord, I don't know what's happening, but, you know, I can't continue on like this. We need workers, we need helpers, and if you don't send me one person that's going to get involved, or somebody, you know, some family here, then I'm going to go to another town and start a church somewhere else and leave these people." I got counsel from my father, and I told God I'm going to give it a year. As soon as we get back from the city, we're on furlough at that time for about 5 months, and we got back, and I gave it a year. And, you know, God comes through right on time a lot of times. And I was discouraged, no workers. Then in October of 2018, a year had passed, exactly a year. And I was riding down the road one day, and another missionary family had just gotten to Sofia. They were starting a church on the other side of Sofia, and he was going souling with me on Saturday. And I was driving down the road to the village there, and I saw a lady walking down the street, and I said to him, I said, "That lady used to come to church. Her name was Daniela." And her son came to church. Her son was 15 years old, came to our church when we were down in the on the storefront building and had gotten saved and baptized when he was 15 years old. His name is Martin. And I said, they haven't been to church in a long time, about 3 years, 3 or 4 years. And I decided, my wife says it's longer than that, but I don't know how long it was, but it doesn't matter. But I decided, well, we'll go visit. I don't like to give up on anybody. Every once in a while, I like to go by somebody's house and that hasn't been coming. And I went by there. I said, we're going to stop in there. So we stopped in there and went in there and talked to him. And I found out he had gotten married. His wife, his name is Sandrina. They have at that time, they had one son, Angel. And he was sleeping. And his wife woke him up and he came to the table. And she began to tell me how he was doing. And he wasn't doing too well. Gotten into the world, got a tattoo on his arm right here, been into some drugs and alcohol, and had been smuggling immigrants from the Turkish border, and running across to Sofia, and almost got caught several times, and he became scared. So I need to go to church. I need to get out of this. I need to start doing what's right. And his wife began to bug him. She wasn't saved, but she began to bug him about going to church. Wanted to see change in his life, and he said to me, "He said we need to come to church." And that was in October of 2018. And we left there with the other missionary. I said to him in the car, I said, we probably wasted about an hour of our time. But you never know. You know, sometimes we think that's true. You know, we go to many people, they say we're going to come. But it's a lot of people. You know, it's. And Martin and his wife, Sandrina, showed up that Sunday. And they haven't missed a Sunday or Wednesday, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, since. And she got saved and also got baptized on Christmas Day in 2018. And they've been a great blessing to our ministry there. Began to meet, you'll see, if you're here for the morning hour here, we'll see a little bit, a clip, some testimonies of some of the people that have been saved. Martin's also in there. Now they now have two children, Angel and Mateo. Went through our Bible Institute. He's now preaching. He preached there this morning. And he'll be preaching, actually at the 11 o'clock hour right now. It'll be our 6 o'clock hour there, and he'll be preaching there tonight. And they've been a great encouragement and joy. And it's always a great encouragement. As John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And God has just brought things together just right on time. And we thank God for that. In 2020, we found out that the property where we were meeting, where we had the container buildings, was being sold, and that we would have to move when the property sold, and that worked out just right on time too. We began to pray and look for land and wrote in some prayer letters, and God provided the funds, and some from our church there in Bulgaria from their giving, some from some churches in the States here, and we were able to purchase a small lot where the church is now located. We moved the container buildings over there, began to meet there in April of 2022, and building another building in the back now. And there have been many, many obstacles, many. There have been many tribulations, unspeakable tribulations, ups and downs, disappointments, tears, but souls have been saved. And lives have been changed. We plan to continue on as long as God gives us to plant churches, to strive to plant churches, to see people saved, baptized, and added to the church. And we thank you very much for your prayers, for your support, for your encouragement over these years. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It says in Psalms 126, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Bulgaria is a tough place. If you ever have another missionary come through here, he'll probably tell you the same thing. We've been discouraged over the years, but we've also been encouraged. And we plan to keep going as long as God gives us breath. I always said we're going to stay there until he hits me in the head with a 2x4. So pray that he doesn't have to do that. And I wouldn't like that very much. But we appreciate and we thank the Lord for your for your prayers. And believe it or not, this church here, your pastor's father had an influence on me when I was a little boy. When I was just 4 years old. And I thank God for that. I remember that often. And thank you, Pastor.